Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Dundee Church Podcast. My name is J.D. Gorlad. I'm the senior pastor here at Dundee Presbyterian Church in lovely Omaha, Nebraska, and I'm joined again by my good friend and colleague, Keith Holmes. Keith, how are you doing, buddy?
I am doing very well, thank you.
We've got a lot to do today.
We do have
a lot to do. Are you up to it? Have you had enough coffee?
I have got it.
What's the report? What can we expect from you?
I have got a lot of coffee, and I'm ready to dive in.
You're ready to say something
I don't know how profound it'll be, but I got a lot to say.
We have a big expectation from you, man, because I'm feeling tired today. I need you to, you need to get us.
Carry the water,
I need at least 8 innings out of you today. No, I'm kidding. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are in John chapter 15, starting in verse 18. We're going to take you through chapter 16. Mm-hmm. What that means is that we have several podcasts.
Yes.
I've lost count of how many we've done in the book of John.
We're in the 20s, I believe.
Right. And so what we've tried to do here is give you a companion to your devotional time.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried to direct you with this podcast towards the book of John because it's a wonderful experience. And then we've tried to accompany you on this. So we want you to read, shut off the podcast now and read chapter 15, verse 18. Through chapter 16, and then come back to us and listen to what we have to say.
How many podcasts do you think tell their listeners, turn us off?
Right, and come back.
But trust us, you're getting a much better deal when you read the Bible than listen to us.
We're trusting that you'll come back.
Right.
Which we want you to be blessed, and we want you to feel the love that
exactly.
we have. And as you leave, this is the question. What would you want to go back in time and tell yourself right before something big happened in your life? So that's JD's way of writing a question, and I know it sounds kind of like the Apostle Paul writing, but so it's basically you're going to go back in time and you're going to tell yourself something.
Right.
Right before a big event in your life.
Yeah.
Would you do?
I would probably have said, ask her sooner.
Yeah, you know, Alice.
I would have told my younger self, get your act together.
Yeah.
You could spend 3 more years being married to her or some such
thing. And that would have been a good thing.
And that would have been a much better thing for me, probably. Or don't drink that something like that. Put that down.
Right.
You know, because so much of my I just remember so much of my life searching for something that would fulfill me and finding Christ later in life.
Yeah.
And going, man, why didn't I have this earlier? Why couldn't I have gotten this earlier? Yeah, probably. Yeah, some Sunday morning when I was hungover, there was the old me standing there going, go to church.
Right.
Just get up and go to church.
Right.
Start doing that.
Right.
And so
it's interesting to me, time travel, you being the science fiction fan that you are, time travel is one of the most fascinating overwrought, well-worn ideas in science fiction, but it's a natural the question of what it would be like if we were able to time travel. I find it to be interesting in that God has given us so many things, so much ability, and Scripture, particularly here and in the book of in the book of Romans. In other places, talks very clearly about supernatural occurrences, God's ability with the Holy Spirit, and in many other, in the Old Testament too, God's willingness and ability to do these just remarkable, mind-blowing things that science fiction would do science fiction proud, and yet He has not given us the ability to time travel. I don't have the doubt. I mean, what I'm saying is that God clearly could have given us that ability, but He didn't. And I find that to be interesting.
Yes, he could do anything, right? I mean, it comes down to the, can God make a rock big enough he can't lift?
Right.
It's just a silly question.
Right.
Because the fact of the matter is, if you say there's time travel, you must remove the sovereignty of God.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you can go back and change the past over the ability that God has to control everything that happens. So I think in that regard, we'll never have it because God is sovereign. He always has been. He always will be. And it's just another way of humanity trying to control their destiny.
Amen. And I agree with all of that.
Yeah.
And so then, to kind of build on that, he didn't give us that ability, didn't want us to have that ability,
right.
And there's a purpose as to why he didn't want us to be able to do that, which you've outlined very well as far as taking away the sovereignty of God and giving this horrible tool to human beings
right.
who would have messed it up.
Oh, my gosh.
We
couldn't even handle a fruit tree. Right. What are we going to do with time travel?
With a time machine. Yeah. Here you go. Let's see how this goes.
Yeah. Here you go, kids.
And for me, I would have, and you said what you would have yourself tell yourself if you could go. And,
yeah.
and then we could expand it to, well, what would you have Jesus tell you
oh, yeah.
at critical points? And there are some critical points where I wish I would have been able to say to myself or have Jesus come and say yeah. to me, JD, you can't avoid this next 9 months or whatever.
Right.
But you're going to survive. This is going to be brutal, but yep. you're going to survive. And there's a purpose here.
Amen.
In all this kind of yep. where I would have really loved to hear myself say that to me. You say, marry the girl. Same thing with me. Don't have any doubt. You know, this is the right choice and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that being said, Jesus doesn't do that, doesn't give us that.
Yeah.
He says a lot of things to us. But many times, he wants us to go through periods of our lives where we don't have a lot of information.
Right.
Where we don't
yep.
We don't have somebody whispering in our ear in giving us the end. I'm very much about, man, I'm one of those guys who reads the end of the book first. And
right.
then yeah. I want to know how the game
right.
finishes,
that's,
and
yeah.
then I'll watch the story.
Right.
Now I'm weird that way.
Well,
I'm very much that way.
I can't imagine watching baseball is any fun for you because you want to know what the end of the right. game. What? Just tell me the final score.
Right. And then I'll watch the game.
Then I'll watch the game.
And it's so I'm very too much that way.
Yeah.
Jesus wants us to go through these.
But
things.
isn't that his way of saying have faith?
Yes, I mean, absolutely.
I mean, if
now
we
you interrupted
knew,
me.
Oh, were you getting there?
Rudely.
Oh my.
With exactly with what I was going to say, but that's fine. I'm not hurt by that at all.
I'm so
we're
sorry.
Friends.
I'm so sorry.
I was on
Jonathan.
A riff.
Can we edit?
Yeah, let's edit that out. So that's just. I want everybody to notice how blatantly rude that was. That's fine. It's not a big deal.
I'm so sorry. Oh, you poor fella. So, I don't know why you put up with me.
We get letters all the time.
That's right.
All the time.
Why are you?
Why? But yeah, no, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's,
yeah.
You're right about making that point that I was
Well,
going
it was
to make.
Your point to make, so of course I'm right, because you were going to make it.
Faith, trust, relationship
right.
is so important to him. That he withholds information from us.
Well, we don't tell our children everything.
Right. Not as a cruelty.
Right.
But as, you know, just that's where we're at. That's
right.
That's an important part of the process. That's an important part of the growth. Maybe we don't tell our children things, and maybe Jesus doesn't tell us. And we're going to get into this in a minute
yeah.
because we can't handle them.
No.
We can't process those things. But that's particularly true of a 3-year-old.
Right.
And compared to Jesus, we're very much like a 3-year-old
right.
in many situations.
I do not remember my father sitting me down at 3 and saying, okay, son, this is what a budget is.
Right.
Because it doesn't help
right.
a 3-year-old.
This is what I'm stressing about this
right.
month.
This is why I yelled at
you.
Make
the house payment.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know
yeah.
exactly. So we're in chapter 15 of John, starting in verse 18. Again, check out our previous podcast, and then we're going to cover all the way through John chapter 16.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the context. We're in Maundy Thursday, the
right.
night before Jesus is going to carry the cross, the night before he's going to die on Good Friday, and John, in particular, spends a tremendous amount of time in these last 24 hours of Jesus' life. How does Jesus sound? He's talking with the disciples. He's talking about the future. He's talking about what's going to happen. How would you say he sounds?
He sounds like the world's worst salesman. Yeah, buy this product and everybody will hate you. Not because of you, but because of me.
Right.
I mean, but seriously, he just... But I think it's important that he does. He tells them the truth. He tells them what's to come. How many times, you know, go through the four Gospels and count how many times, if you just tell us this, Jesus, we'll believe. Or if you can get, how do we know what's going to happen?
Right.
How do we know this? And here he is finally telling them, this is what's going to happen.
Right.
People are going to hate you because of me.
Right.
And you've got to remember that. they hated me more than they hated you.
Right. I love what you said, and it goes to our original question. Jesus is talking to them about what they're going to experience next. Yeah. He's doing the thing that we brought up. He's basically, he's not using a time machine, but he's telling them, here's what's next. He is that person at that stage saying, Keith, JD, here's what's going to happen next. Yep. And it's interesting that even though he blesses him in that way, as you said, I love how he's the worst salesman ever.
Right?
He's telling them the truth.
Yes.
Now, we can read this passage that we're examining today, and we can say, well, that's all well and good. That was in, he was talking to them in the situation where they were in right there. But that would be wrong of us. He is, to limit it to that would be a mistake on our part.
It is true that he is talking to them in that moment.
But he's also talking to us.
Yep.
He's saying to them, the world's going to hate you. He's saying to us, the world is going to hate you. He's saying to them, the Holy Spirit is going to come. He calls it the advocate. It's good that I'm going away. You're going to get. He's telling them from here on, the Holy Spirit's going to be your guide. He's saying that not just to them. He's saying that to us. He's saying that they are going to have sorrow. He's saying that they're going to be sad. He's saying that there's future joy, and that I have conquered. That I have conquered the world. For them and for us, it's going to be something that they're just going to have to trust. It's going to have to be something that they're going to have to embrace with their faith. Amen. And it's the same, not just for them, but for us. And we can read this as if it's just for those 12 in that situation, those 11 in that situation, because Judas is gone.
Right.
But it applies also to us.
Right. But at the same, again, it doesn't sound great until you get into chapter 16 where he starts telling you that the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. Mm-hmm. I love how you made mention of that I have to go so that the Holy Spirit can come. And it's a good thing. You pointed that out. You said it's a good thing. And I love that Jesus says that because the Holy Spirit indwells in us. He is a part of us when we accept Christ as our Savior. So he is with us constantly. I think, if you rely too much on a person in your life and they go away or they let you down, so Jesus is like, I'm just one person here in one spot. The Holy Spirit is going to be everywhere at once.
Right.
And that's the good of the Holy Spirit that I personally see in that passage is because people aren't dependent on, Jesus isn't here, so I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
It's like, no, the Holy Spirit is with you always. Are you sure you want to do it?
Right.
And if you know that, that helps you decide what choices to make because you want to please God. You want to please the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit indwells in you, it saddens him when we sin. It saddens him when we turn our back. And so how wonderful and good it is to have God with us all the time and helping us. It isn't, it isn't a creepy over-the-shoulder looking at everything you do. It's, what are you doing?
It's a love relationship.
Exactly.
Right. And it's a Lord relationship too. Yeah. It's not a co-pilot thing. He's Lord. He's master. We're the servant. I ask the question of how does Jesus sound in this passage? He's talking to the disciples at the ultimate moment right before he's arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And he sounds dour, he sounds downcast, he sounds very serious, very somber, very sober. Very honest about what's going on. And I ask that question because I know that we have an expectation, building on what you said, of Jesus coming alongside us and sounding a certain way in our lives. And then we get disappointed when he doesn't sound that way. One of the things that's interesting as a preacher for me is that I quite often get self-conscious about how I sound to my congregation over a long period of time. And I was like, wow, I really need to sound more affirming in the next sermon because I've gone for several weeks and it's been, and then I stop myself. I'm like, all your job is to do is to communicate what Jesus is saying, what Jesus is in what he wants us to hear. And that quite often, more often than not, is in these tones of warning and of caution and of challenge and of spiritual sobriety, if you will, and sober us up and get our attention. And he sounds these ways, and I think it's shocking to us because we have that expectation that he's just here to tell us that I just love you so much, just the way you are.
You're doing a great job.
You're doing a great job. Yeah. And I, and he doesn't say that.
No.
He very rarely sounds that way. Right. And I think there's a reason why people skip forward to Christmas and skip forward to Easter and only come to church on those days, because that's all they ever want to hear from God.
Right.
They just want
to hear. You came for me and you died for me.
Right. And it's all peaceful and mild and beautiful. And we don't want to hear about the slaughter of the innocents. And we don't want to hear him tell the rich young ruler, sell everything and follow me. We don't want to.
You
got to
give it up. You got to give up your heart's desire.
Right. If I don't read those passages and don't come to church on those days, then that voice doesn't. But it does exist. It is what Jesus is like.
And, it's interesting, too, for me, if I'm not hearing Christ, or if I'm not hearing the Holy Spirit talking to me, that worries me, right? Then all of a sudden, I'm like, well, did you give up on me? Did you harden my heart? No, I don't want a hard heart. I want to change, God. Right.
That's a frightening thing for me. I mean, quite often I talk to God, and I'm like, gosh, don't let me have that hard heart that Pharaoh had. Please, God, don't let that. And I'm like, maybe my heart is hard. Now, the next question that I had was, why does Jesus speak to the disciples about the hatred of the world? If you read the first part of our reading today, that's about all he talks about. He talks about how the world hated him, how the world is going to hate the disciples, and that the fact that that the world hates me because they hate the Father, they hate it. My question is, why does he talk to them like that? I think because they're at risk, and we are at risk as a church, and you and I have seen several examples of churches and ministers who clearly their motivation is to be loved by the world,
is to receive adoration
and adulation from the world. And clearly when we do that, when that is our priority, then we're not going to be a church. We're not going to be proclaiming the real gospel.
No.
And when you're an actor, when you're a performer, it's all about the adoration of the world, the adulation of the world. Now, as an actor, as a performer, I don't see that as anything necessarily terrible, but you also have to be careful with it, because you can get drunk on that.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
To the point of complete self-destruction.
Welcome to my 20s.
But it's an interesting thing. If you read the end of John chapter 15 and into 16, it's clear, man, if the world hates you, you're doing it right. You're doing the gospel right.
Again, world's worst salesman. I mean, how can you tell me if the world hates me, I'm doing it right?
He wants to kill in the disciples and in us the idea that our job is to make the world happy with the gospel, to talk about God, but to do it in such a way that makes everybody just happy all the time. And that being said, my job and your job with this podcast and with our work is not to go out and just overtly hack off the world and offend the world for no reason at all.
Well, that's very
important. It's just to simply tell the truth.
Exactly. And that's what he's doing. He's simply telling the truth when he says the world is going to hate you if you're doing it right.
Right.
I also think, I had a great saying once, and I may have said it on the podcast before, but it bears repeating, and that is, the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive enough. We don't need to add to it
by being
offensive on our own.
Right.
But so if we're out,
it is offensive.
But it is offensive. I mean, come on, you're telling me I'm a sinner,
right?
And I'm not. I'm a very good person.
Right.
I'm not as bad as that guy. Right. And name that guy.
Right. But that leads us to this next question, which is, what does the Holy Spirit do? Lots of believers who've been believers for a while and have experienced something with the Holy Spirit in multiple contexts can probably give a pretty good answer to what the Holy Spirit does. But here in John leading into John chapter 16, early part of John chapter 16, Jesus makes the statement that what the Holy Spirit does, as much as anything, I love the line, Keith, it jumps off the page to me, the Holy Spirit proves the world wrong.
Right? Isn't that a great line?
I just lay back and I'm like, okay, what is that? The Holy Spirit proves the world wrong. And so that's a powerful statement, that the world has an assumption about itself, and we're, of course, of the world and, sure. and in the world.
In the world,
yeah. And we're hearing that message that the world gives us, and Jesus says the Holy Spirit is there to prove the world, the whole entire messaging of the world, wrong.
But that's, isn't that...
That okay, is amazing.
I mean, you talk about an attaboy or an, oh, it's going to be okay moment.
Right.
Because he's just done telling the disciples, the world is going to hate you because they hate me. They hate my Father, the one who sent me. And by the way, the helper that I'm going to give you, the right. advocate that I'm going to give you, is going to prove them wrong.
Now, we did a Bible study one time, and you were there, where I said, okay, let's think of all of the ways, all of the things that we tell ourselves about sin to mm-hmm. make it okay in our lives.
Right.
We rattled off a pretty good list.
Yeah.
You can sit there and say, okay, this is what I tell myself to make myself feel better about things that are clearly sins. And I say to myself, well, it doesn't really matter.
Right. Big
what
one,
else?
Right?
Right.
It's a victimless crime. Victimless crime. I'm not hurting anybody else.
Right.
I'm not even hurting myself with this.
God doesn't care. God can't see what I'm doing.
Yeah. yeah.
We might not articulate that one, but you know, we act that way. We live that
do.
Way.
Turn the lights off.
Right. We tell ourselves lots of things, or the end justifies the mean. Yes, this is a sin. But it achieved a better good.
These people now know better.
Right. Yeah. We tell ourselves everybody else is doing it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
How many of us had parents that said, and if they jumped off a bridge?
Right.
Right.
Right, well, exactly.
But what a great illustration that was.
Right. And so we tell ourselves, and the Holy Spirit says, you know, wrong, wrong, wrong. You're wrong about it does matter.
It does.
It is God not a victimless care. Crime. If even if it doesn't victimize anybody else, it victimizes your relationship
right.
with God. There is
right.
no victimless crime here at all. The Holy Spirit comes along and hammers all of those rationalizations over and over again.
Absolutely. Not only does he hammer away all of our rationalizations, he hammers away all of those things that the world tells us, like all the advertising that we get,
good.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's not just what we tell ourselves.
Right, not just what we tell ourselves, but what the world tells us.
Good point.
Because the world wants us to believe what it believes.
Right. If I watch the TV, Keith, I'm one pickup truck away from true happiness.
Right, right. But it better have a trailer hitch, because the next thing you're going to need is the five-wheeler or the, you know, working with kids, the old Veggie Tales, where there's the one episode where Larry the Cucumber, if I only had the Susie Camper or Susie Adventure Camper, oh, if I only had the Susie Adventure Motorcycle. And I mean, that's what the world wants us to be doing,
right.
constantly going after anything
right.
but God.
The idea of intoxication is interesting, because a lot of us, unfortunately, know what it's like to be
right.
intoxicated,
absolutely,
physically intoxicated by alcohol or something else.
Right.
And there is a spiritual, emotional intoxication that you can get,
yeah.
and the Holy Spirit wants to attack those
right.
those things.
Those false.
Yeah, when I read this passage, I think of spiritual sobriety. Jesus is talking to us as if we need to sober up, and declares that the Holy Spirit's job is to come along and really sober us up from the things that you're pointing out right there.
I mean, and the things that you said about, you know, all the things, the lies we tell ourselves. Really, we don't even need Madison Avenue. We can lie to ourselves
even better than
they can.
Right.
But boy, do they know our buttons.
Right.
And I mean, not just Madison Avenue, obviously, but the world, the message of the world.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So what would it have been like for Jesus? So you're playing the role of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
talking to the disciples, and he says this profound line. He says, I have much to tell you, but you can't bear it yet.
Right.
I just want to ask, what would it have been like for Jesus to feel that? He says that. You know,
I think of the times that I wanted to tell my daughters things,
right.
but they just weren't ready for it.
Right.
And then
about boys, because I used to be one,
right? But they got that part. But things like, you know, it's gonna, you don't have to worry so much,
yeah.
Because both of them have anxiety. I think a lot of this generation does, from
mm-hmm.
what I understand,
yeah.
and have seen. But you know, that there's this anxiety, and it's like, but you don't have to have it because Christ is your Savior. You both accepted Jesus. The Holy Spirit's with you. It's going to work out for your good,
right?
And all of that. But I don't have enough time. I didn't have. I look back and I'm like, oh, I wasted this chance. I wasted that. I just didn't. But with Jesus, He didn't waste those chances. Right. He did it, and they still didn't understand. And it's just like. But now I have to go. I don't want to go because I want to keep telling you this right. until I see it in your right. eyes that you understand. It's like being a parent a millionfold because you're God,
right?
Right? And you just want them to understand. And so I think there's a sense of urgency, and yet at the same time, there's this sense of not defeat, because I don't think that's the right word. It's just this sort of...
Yeah.
Resigned. I'm out of time.
I'm amazed at this line. I have so much to tell you, but you can't bear it.
Right.
It's not a deal where I don't know what it is.
Right.
And I can't put it into words. It's a deal where you're not ready to listen to it.
Exactly.
And that must have caused Jesus just a certain amount of distress. But he also knows who he's dealing with. Begs the question of he says this to the disciples. And a wise reader would say, holy cow, I wonder what Jesus is just dying to tell me that he can't tell me because I'm just not mature enough to listen to it yet. I'm just, that really is a shadow for me. And it's okay because you've articulated the fact that Jesus doesn't lose anybody that belongs to him.
Right.
And he's got it completely. We're where we need to be in this moment and all this kind of stuff. And yet still, I want to hear from Christ the things that he wants to share with me.
Right.
And I want to get to that place where he's like, okay, now... Isn't that a wonderful thought?
Oh, absolutely.
To get to that point where it's like Jesus says, okay, Keith, now I can tell you, share with you this thing.
I will say in the preceding chapter, what he told me about the world hating me, I'm not sure I want to know what he's got to say
well,
next.
That's true.
I can digest that, right? Exactly. If I can finally get to the point where I'm okay that
right.
the world hates me.
Right.
What?
And I've known of that passage for years, and
right.
I don't think I want
right.
to hear that part.
Right? And so then it's like, well, wait a minute, you just got done telling me that. I don't know that I want to know what the next thing is, because it doesn't... How much worse can this get that the world's going to hate me?
Well, to flip it, how many things has he already told me?
Yeah.
That I, you know, that I'm...
Still not getting
right.
there.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, the Lord is my shepherd, and okay, I've heard that 1,000 times.
You've said it 1,000 times.
But right.
Yeah.
And am I really getting that, accepting yeah. he's the shepherd? I'm not.
Right.
I'm not shepherding him around.
I can tell you no, you haven't gotten
right.
that yet.
I haven't. I'm not offended by that. I mean, after the show, I'm going to beat you up,
no,
but, you know,
standard issue.
I lack the ability to do that, but, I've
You're
often thought of it.
Yeah.
But
seriously, it's how much, especially in yours and my position of teaching, how many times have we told other people these things, and yet at the same time, when it comes right down to it,
I'm still working
on it too.
Yeah. In what ways is Jesus? He says in closing in our final verse, he says, "I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution." But take courage. I have conquered the world.
Mm.
And this is Napoleonic language. This
right.
is Alexander the Great type
right.
of talk. I've conquered the world. Alexander the Great on his deathbed says, I just regret there isn't any more land for me to conquer. You know,
right.
I want to kill more people. It's almost that kind of language.
Well, yeah, but it's the kind of thing where I think then the disciples thinking that way would look at him and go, you haven't conquered anything.
Right.
But in fact, if we, you know, if we read it correctly, you know, and they ultimately understood it with the help of the Holy Spirit, that he did conquer the world. He conquered the way the world wants you to be,
mm-hmm.
the way the prince of the air wants you to be, which by the way is Satan.
Yeah.
And he wants you, and he's showing us what it looks like to be victorious
right.
over not just ourselves, but the world.
Right. He conquered the world in the most important way. He
right.
he condemned sin in the flesh, as Paul would say in the book
yep.
of Romans.
Yep.
He condemned sin in the flesh. However, it doesn't seem like
No.
A victory. It seems like we're talking about a guy who died naked, nailed to a cross.
Right.
And still in our world, how the world goes and the things that people experience, the pain that we have, causes us, every one of us, to wonder whether or not Jesus has any idea what he's doing. It causes us to wonder and doubt and even flat out reject the idea that Jesus is in charge, that he is truly Lord.
Right.
And yet, this is what we do as Christians. Despite what it feels like, what it looks like, we trust that Jesus indeed, that all things work out for the good of those who believe, that he has conquered, that his kingdom will not ever be overcome.
Amen.
You know, so...
That's a great place to end the podcast.
What, are you tired or something?
No, I'm just like, man, that was about as profound as you get.
But they expect us to go over time. So, you know, can you sing?
Well, sure.
What else can you bring to the table?
I'm going to tap dance.
There you go. This has been the Dundee Church Podcast and chapter 6, most of 16, of the Book of John. And we really enjoy having you with us, don't we? Have you enjoyed having
them? I have enjoyed having them with us as well. So, yes, no matter how much the world hates you, God has overcome the world.
You might be
Christ.
You're probably over the target a whole lot more than you think.
Amen.
All right, we'll see you next time for, I think it's going to be chapter 17.
Yes.
I think I can boldly predict that.
Ooh.
Look forward to seeing you then.